Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and good day to you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in your day. Thank you for joining me and connecting here. Today is March 6, 2019. This is Molly McCord, and every Wednesday we gather to talk about the astrology and energies of right now. And wow, what a week we have happening. Perhaps you're feeling it. You could feel it in big ways. You could just feel it under the surface. But we're going to talk about everything that's happening, including Uranus entering Taurus, where it will stay until April 2026. Today we have a new moon in Pisces at 15 degrees. We have the Sun conjunct Neptune on March 7th at 16 degrees of Pisces. And then we, of course, have Mercury retrograde. So all of this is contained within a matter of two days, about 48 hours. That's a lot. That's a lot coming in. That's a lot leaving. So I'm going to go through each of these transits in today's show. A few announcements. You can find out more about my current business development opportunities for healers, authors, experts, guides. If you're doing anything that's helping people, assisting them, and you need support in your own business development, please go to mollymccord.online, where I have videos for you, resources, guides, all kinds of stuff. It's a time for more healers to step into their power, into their path, and to formalize more in their business. And then I also have a website at consciouscoolchic.com where you can find out more about my books, teachings, consciousness topics, all kinds of good things. So that's over at consciouscoolchic.com, and that is a website I launched back in 2011. So we have a lot going on right now, and I feel like we can't touch it. It feels like something in other realms, in other places. Last week, I think it was Thursday, Friday, I was feeling anxiety that I couldn't place my finger on. If you're feeling anything like that, you're feeling it in the ethers, you're feeling this energy around you, please check in with yourself. Is it in my head? Is it in my body? Is the energy around me? The more that you can fine-tune where you're feeling it and just have an idea of what is happening, that could help you calm down anything that you're feeling. There's a lot of feeling in the air. There's a lot of Pisces in the air. There's a lot of, I don't know what's going on in the air. And this serves a very divine purpose because Pisces is the energy of surrender, not knowing, letting go, of being okay, stepping out of our minds, stepping out of our egos, stepping out of our humanness, and throwing up our hands and saying, I don't know, I'm not sure, and that's okay. This new moon in Pisces is all about our ability to open up new space for spiritual information, healing, understanding, a new higher perspective that we didn't see, we weren't aware of, we couldn't tune into just yet. The Pisces new moon at 15 degrees is asking you to tune into a new frequency that is all about the spiritual messages, the soul whispers, the parts of you that maybe you've been too busy to recognize or listen to. Pisces energy is very receptive, and it's about receiving what's outside of our minds. Because there's a lot we think about in the day. We process, we look to understand, we're taking in information. We're surrounded by so much stimuli. We're surrounded by so much all around us. Pisces energy, especially this new moon in Pisces, go higher. Go higher. And in fact, that's part of the astrological spiral. So the spiral begins at Aries, and then it's meant to keep moving us upwards and to go into new ways of working with energies. And by the time the sun gets to Pisces, we've completed a full cycle. We've come to an understanding within this cycle. We've learned, and now we let go. We empty the vessel. We pour out the water. We release. And the new moon, which is exact on March 6th, March 5th and 6th, depending on your time zone, the new moon is this higher energy now being available. A new moon is a dark moon. A new moon is a point of conception. Masculine and feminine come together. There is a new energy that is birthed through the next cycle. So this point of conception is a reconnection to the spiritual messages, energies, again, the things you can't quite put words to, that are allowing us to feel supported, loved, guided, and connected to something bigger than us. Pisces energy is very strong right now because of the Mercury retrograde in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, and the sun in Pisces. And during the new moon, the moon in Pisces. And because Pisces is the last astrological sign, it's also associated with undoing. Undoing. And when you're consciously undoing, you're releasing. You're letting go. You're saying, okay, I understand this has served its purpose. I understand the cycle is complete. I understand this part of me is fulfilled and has learned, and now I release that. So the undoing is part of Pisces. But when it's unconscious undoing is self-sabotage, is blame, is self-pity, is victim consciousness. So we're all being invited to look at where we've held these energies in our experience, where we've held an aspect of ourselves in victim consciousness, in self-sabotage, in blame, in self-pity, where we have allowed these parts of ourselves to exist, and now we show up with love for these parts of ourselves. And that's part of this new moon in Pisces, is that unconditional love of saying, I didn't know better, or I didn't understand my own power. I didn't see my choices. I didn't know I could choose something else. There's a lot of forgiveness, a lot of self-forgiveness at this time. And when you do that consciously, that's the conscious undoing. The undoingness that's needed to make way and to clear out the space for the next beginning, the next new energies that come in as we move into more Aries energy in the next cycle. So it's a time of allowing things to go and to flow. It's a time of the release and choosing not to struggle. It's interesting because it's also, what I'm hearing is that it's also choosing not to suffer. Pisces is suffering, where you feel that sense of, I don't have any choices. I'm getting the image of somebody with a blindfold on, where you can actually just take off your blindfold and you'll see something new, and you'll see with clear eyes, fresh vision. Pisces is the energy of duality, and the duality in Pisces is the humanness and the spiritualness, your human self and your spiritual self working together. And they're working in harmony. The infinity sign is Pisces. It's that sense of I go into my spiritual self, I come into my human self. I go back to my spiritual self, I come back to my human self. And when that energy is flowing and moving in the infinity sign or the figure eight energy, it just flows and it just moves, and you don't have blocks and you don't have stagnation, and you're in that flow of energy. We're all being invited into this flow of energy right now, especially with this new moon, especially with the sun conjunct Neptune. Where do you need to be more in the flow? This, on a personal note, this Mercury retrograde in Pisces is in my third house. And I shared with you how on Monday I couldn't do this show. I tried three times, and I only have so much time in a day to do the podcast. The podcast has production time. It has other things involved. And if I can't create it in a certain amount of time, then I'm stuck. I have to, you know, try again next week because my schedule is so tightly packed. And I've never had problems with the podcast. And so I was laughing because, well, it's been a while since there's been a Mercury retrograde in my third house. The third house is communication. It's information. It's teaching. It's the podcast. And so then I couldn't upload anything to YouTube. And there was one other thing that was an issue. I had these three problems on Monday. And I was saying, okay, I'm just going to flow with it. I can't fight it. I can't force it. I'm just going to flow with it. And we'll just see how March unfolds. If I don't have a podcast some days, that's what it is. That's just what I'm going to flow with. And there's a reason for that. If you can perhaps apply this same energy to your world, it might help with March. Because a lot about March is about these flows, is about just seeing where we create our own suffering, consciously or unconsciously, where we fight the flows of life, where we fight because our ego wants to solve. It can be from a very good place. It can be very well-intentioned. You want to know the outcome. You want to have a solution. You want to put your energy towards something that brings about your desired outcome. All so normal. But this really strong Pisces energy is asking us to just take a step back. Yes, do what you can. Yes, follow through. Yes, do what is practical and necessary. Mars in Taurus is giving us that ability to stay motivated and to stay focused on the basic steps, to see something through, to stick with it, even if you have to do it two times, three times, four times, stay with it, but to not overdo it. There's a simpleness in this energy right now, a simplicity of approach. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't put too much into it. In fact, there's only one sign in an air sign, and that's Venus in Aquarius. And air signs are where we talk, share, converse, exchange. It's the cerebral energies. It's the relationships that we go to talk things through, to get information. And Venus is there in Aquarius, so it's helping us find the right people to work through something with. Venus in Aquarius is quite independent, and she likes to do things her own way. She likes to know what's going on, but she doesn't necessarily want to be a part of a group at times. She can come and go where she feels connected with her own tribe or people who have her same values. But she's also very much about a sense of rebellion or a sense of standing on her own and not getting lost in the crowd. So that Venus in Aquarius energy is great for going to people for information, for help, support. Venus, of course, being women as well, or feminine energies. And then that Mars in Taurus wants to do it alone. And that is the masculine energy, the desire, the motivation to just stick with what you know and to focus on doing something with a sense of self-reliance. So you could be feeling this in yourself. Either that Mars in Taurus could be strong for you, or that Venus in Aquarius could be strong. You could feel both of them at times. But they are the masculine and the feminine. The moon is also the feminine, and the sun is also the masculine. So we have this interesting dialogue going on right now. As the planets, I'm just feeling this quietness, like a calm, like where can you find the calm inside of you? And as I say that, I'm getting the image of that infinity sign. And in the very middle of the infinity sign, like the very middle of the figure eight, is where there's calm. It's interesting how that feels very pure, cleansing, and clear. And we're meant to return to that right now because, again, there's things we can't force. In fact, we have to be extra diligent and aware at this time because there's a lot of confusion. You could miss details. You could miss the particulars. You could forget something at home. You write down the wrong address. The details are really fuzzy right now with this Mercury retrograde in Pisces. And you could feel like you're not thinking clearly as well. Pisces is everything we can't see. It's very imaginative. It can be incredibly intuitive and tuned into energies and aware of what's not being said as a strength. So there is a lot here around strengthening our other abilities, that sixth sense, right? Not our five senses, but our sixth sense around what we're feeling and picking up on. That is a message. That is something you're meant to receive and sit with during the retrograde, to sit with it so that you can understand that energy. It's a very receptive time, very quiet. And that, I mean, you can look around in the world and it's not quiet at all. But the energies right now are asking us to find the quiet, find the peace. Oh, I think it was last year I read an article about a man who was walking through Manhattan and he was conducting an experiment about how do you find silence in the city. And it's an interesting question. And he was looking at all these different places where you could find silence. And yes, you could put on headphones, or you could be in a park late at night, you know, where it's quiet, less hustle and bustle. But I thought it was an interesting thing to pursue because, again, in this day and age, all the stimuli, right? And all the ways we've trained ourselves to need our phones or need something outside of ourselves to engage us, to keep us thinking, to be aware of what's going on in the world. It can be frivolous or it can be meaningful. But silence and solitude are where we connect to more of who we really are. And how often do we make that a priority? Or how often do we seek that out? This is a time to seek out silence. And it's funny because even when you seek out silence, then it's like your own mind gets really loud and you start to hear everything in your head and everything you've been thinking, and that's okay. That's okay. Just let it flow. Let it flow. You know, don't put up the barriers or the fight or the shut it down. Just let it flow. Let things move through you right now. Let yourself write it out. Do what you need to do to let it flow. And you might hear more of your own brilliance as you do so. Again, the undoingness, undoing what's been ingrained in us, undoing these things that have consumed our attention or consumed our time. The Pisces is saying, let it go. Like, don't put all your energy into something. And I'm getting that image of a ball of yarn, and just let it unravel, and just let some things be complete and be done. And whatever is still meant for you will be clear. It will be clear. But there's this energy of the exhale, the release, the surrender, the sense of, I can trust that it's okay to let this flow away, to flow away. And it can flow back. If it's truly meant for you, it will flow back. But where can you be in that place of not exerting too much energy or effort? I'm also feeling how this shows up too through sickness and illness. Pisces is connected with things we don't see, including bacteria, viruses, you know, what we share with each other that is unseen. So the common cold, the flu, and then even more serious diseases and illness. And it's a time of self-care, because sometimes when we're so busy doing, we have to come back to the body that needs a time of undoing, a time of rest, a time of quiet, and then you can get sick or have an illness that puts you on the sidelines, so that you can quiet, rest, relax. It's about a balance. It's an energetic balance, but we want to stay mindful of that. Pisces is also about drugs and what we do to escape the world, where we escape our responsibilities or where we're feeling too much pressure or burdened. It's why people turn to anything that gives them that escapism in healthy or unhealthy ways. There's a full spectrum there. I was drawn to the astrology chart of Johnny Cash, who was a strong Pisces. Johnny Cash has his sun in the 12th house, sun in Pisces in the 12th house, and his Mars and Mercury are in Pisces in the 12th house, plus Pisces rising. So his creative ability, right, his ability to go to music was his escapism, and his ability to deal with the world. And his birthday is February 26, 1932. I would guess that Johnny Cash was very sensitive to energies and very aware of what was going on around him, and probably very, very psychic. And yet in his generation, during his time, that was not allowed. Even his upbringing, maybe that's something you would never discuss, you would never share. And he was also struggled with addiction throughout his life. His moon in Scorpio was in the 8th house. And he has a lot of water in his chart. He was a feeler. He was here to really experience things more intensely. And he had connections to other realms, to other places that came through his music. And he was very much about representing the outcasts, right? And the people, he gave a voice to the underdogs. He gave a voice, even his new style of music. But I just look at this chart and I think, you know, he was learning how, he didn't have the tools to cope with all of reality because he wasn't in reality. He had all this creativity and psychic ability and imagination, and thankfully he had music to create and direct his energy towards. But it's a great example of Pisces energy, where you don't want to be in this world at times, and you even need other people to ground you, to support you, to help you deal with the responsibilities and just the details of living and what that means. So a very Piscean energy, this Johnny Cash, and very strong in his connection to something bigger than him. Very emotional, very intuitive, and I believe that he brought forth more through his music than he ever could in any other form, meaning he was here to be this musician and to bring in something that allowed other people to go places with him, to escape reality, to get through their daily grind, to get through their work life and their responsibility. So just one example of this Pisces energy and how, you know, I don't judge people, because especially when you see their astrology chart and you can say, okay, well, the alcohol was his escapism when life got really hard, and that doesn't mean that it validates the choices or that, you know, there's anything right or wrong about it. It's more about managing his own energy, And again, if he had had other tools, there would have been other ways to manage that energy differently. And again, thankfully there was music. So the Pisces energy that's so strong right now is asking us to stay aware of how we manage our escapism needs. I mean, it's as simple as, you know, Hollywood, celebrity and fame is all Pisces energy. And how we go to watch movies, we go to watch TV shows, we go to watch entertainment to get out of our own lives or to take a break from reality or to look at something in a new way, to gather inspiration. So Hollywood is Pisces. Fame is Pisces. The illusions of the entertainment world and what's real and what's true and how we put people on a pedestal, and is that healthy? And is that healthy for the public? Is that healthy for that individual? No, because we're all complex beings. We all have our humanness, right? And we all have the parts of ourselves that need to be improved, that need to be validated. We have our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses. And you put somebody on a pedestal, and that can feed the ego, but it can also feed the illusion. And it's not just Hollywood. It's everything that then plays into the illusions of fame, such as gossip magazines, where what's true? What is real here? What information is true and what's false? What is, you know, what is salacious gossip that's really mean-spirited and harmful? And what's true? You can look at how even magazines are photoshopped and bodies haven't been represented accurately, right? You trim off a little of the thigh, you make the waist a little smaller, you add in the illusion of a six-pack of abs, or you add in the tanning, and the body looks more toned. All of this is Pisces. Pisces is what's even real here. And so this brings up the back and forth between what is truth and what is illusion. And where you find those answers is more intuitive. Where you look at something and you just get that sense of, this feels off. Something doesn't feel right here. Something doesn't feel like it's clicking and I can't quite put my finger on it. You know, what is it? What is it? Malcolm Gladwell, the author. He's a Canadian author and public speaker, and he's written a number of books on various cool topics. I think they're cool, at least. And one of his books is called Blink. And in Blink, he talks about how there was a statue, an antique statue that was found. And the artists and experts were asked to look at the statue and to determine if it was authentic for the period in time that it was thought to be created. And I read this book a while ago, so I'm like just trying to remember, you know, all the specifics. But essentially, and I believe it was the first or second chapter, they're saying that you look at this sculpture and it has everything that it should have. There's like the checklist of the style, the technique, the materials, when it was crafted and created. And it's like, well, this should be, it was authentically made in this century. And people were using their mind, right, to go through the checklist and confirm that this was an accurate, authentic sculpture. Except it wasn't. And there were a few people who said, it just feels off. It just feels like there's something wrong with this, and I can't put my finger on it, and I can't quite name it, but this doesn't seem right. There's something off about the sculpture. Well, it turns out it was an imposter. It was fabricated. It wasn't authentic. And that was the test. And so in the book Blink, it's really tapping into this intuitiveness. And it says Blink, it's all about how we think without thinking, about choices that we make in the blink of an eye that actually aren't as simple as they seem. And so it goes into what we can't always conceptualize. So that's just one example of how this Pisces energy is working with us. Where intuitively you're thinking, something's different, something's off, and I don't know what, but I feel it and I sense it. And then it can take time for that to be proven, for there to be actual reality check or actual demonstration of what's wrong. Things can take time to play out, especially in the 3D. But your Pisces energy is that intuitive hit, that energetic feeling that something's off. It's very strong right now, very strong for everybody. But it also can show up as what is false and playing into illusions and playing into what we don't want to see. Because at a deeper level of our psyche, maybe we don't want to know truth. Maybe we don't want to have reality checks about everything. Maybe we need something that's an illusion. Maybe we need something that's just out of touch, that plays into this otherworldliness. It's quite interesting. It's very interesting because I feel like it goes into some of our cultural and societal programming around, I'm getting the image of a pedestal and like who we put on a pedestal or why we put people on a pedestal and how we are taught that from an early age through religion, through belief systems, through cultural beliefs. It's like there's this sense of something outside of you is bigger than you, right? And something outside of you should be idolized, give a lot of energy to it. It has a lot of power. And there can be good in that. Sure, there can be good in that. But where does that take us away from the power within ourselves the ways that we should honor ourselves. Like, I feel like there's this sense of, I'm having a Pisces moment. I can't even find the words. It's this energy of where we put too much emphasis outside of ourselves instead of calling it back in and remembering that we are all connected energetically. We are all part of humanity. We are all part of the energy field of oneness. And so how about remembering that and putting energetic emphasis on that connection instead of on the people or on the gurus or on the untouchables, if you will, that we buy into. So the Pisces energy brings up where we put our energy into illusions versus where we put our energy into connection. And the ultimate Pisces is a place of connection. It's back to that infinity symbol of the connection of the energies. Now, when the Sun is conjunct Neptune, which happens once a year, it tends to be a time of needing a vacation, needing a break, feeling tired. You can be very imaginative, very creative, looking for inspiration, looking for bigger understanding. I can also feel like you can't focus, and you want to do something fun. You want to do, you just want to go on vacation and you want a break, or you want to leave work early. So it tends to be a slower energy in terms of a timeline. Like, if you were to be watching the clock, it could feel like the clock is moving slowly. But if you were to rise above the time on the clock, you would tap into just a floatingness. Floating, floating, floating. So it's just an interesting time of staying grounded in ourselves when there's so many parts of us that want to float away, want to escape, want to go away, want to move away. And you could feel that in yourself, that you need to nap or you just want to sleep more, that you don't want to focus on the details or that the details are harder to focus on. Uranus entered Taurus on March 6th, and it will stay there until April 2026. I will be doing a separate episode for you on this Uranus in Taurus transit. It's a big deal. We just got a sample of it in 2018, the appetizer, if you wish, around what is to come. And as Uranus moves through Taurus, it shakes up what we value, where we want to place our money, where we want to invest, what we want to own, what we want to accumulate and possess. Uranus in Taurus says, I don't want that anymore, because Uranus is the energy of liberation. And you look around, you're like, I have too much stuff. I don't need all this stuff. I no longer value this stuff. It doesn't have meaning to me like it used to. And that's the underlining energy here, is that we're really moving into more of what matters and what we need to live a good life. And what does that mean to you now? What do you need to live a good life? And in Taurus, it's typically very simple. And Taurus is about the five senses. So I was just talking about the sixth sense of Pisces and the energy, what we feel, our intuition, spiritual understandings. But Taurus returns us to our five senses, our five human senses, and awakens them more. And so Uranus is about change, and it's about things happening quickly and breakthroughs and new developments and following what's interesting that maybe you weren't interested in before. There's a shakeup of energies in Taurus, in where and how you make money. Uranus is associated with entrepreneurship, doing something your own way, freedom, being your own boss. It's associated with anything innovative, metaphysical, science, technology, engineering, the way forward, the next innovation, the next developments. It's associated with virtual reality. It's that the 5G. Every time I think of 5G, I just feel this dread because the 5G is part of this Uranus in Taurus and how Taurus is the earth, the natural resources, the beauty of this planet, the trees, the flowers, the soil, the sand, nature. And 5G is going to greatly affect nature. There was a test recently, I believe it was in Norway, with 5G, and it killed all these birds. And it just, it's like this dread about 5G and how it's going to affect us, how it's going to affect our world, affect our animals, affect nature, affect our bodies and our health. This is Uranus technology that is actually detrimental to the natural resources of the planet and how, you know, what's the line between science and nature, and how do we honor both? How do we honor human innovation and what's needed next to better our lives, but then at what cost? And Uranus and Taurus brings up cost. What are we willing to pay? What is the price of something? But not just in currency. You know, what is the cost to the planet, or what is the cost to humanity? So the 5G is actually related to this Uranus in Taurus energies. And it just feels like a back-to-basics energy of where it's gone too far, of where some things have gone too far. Uranus is artificial intelligence and robots. And anything computerized, technology, anything like that, and how we have to ask ourselves, do we really need this? And what does it offer us? And how does it improve our lives? Or does it overcomplicate things? And does it take us away from what we value? No clear answers here, but that's the energy that we've been in, but now we're really in it. And the more that we're aware of how we're really in it, perhaps the more we'll be open to the better solutions and the better possibilities. Uranus was last in Taurus in the 1930s, and it brought us to a new understanding of currency, to money, of how we make money, how we spend money. What is the true purpose of money? And how is it used in our lives now in modern society? And, of course, we all have debit cards, credit cards, everything's digital, electronic. Uranus and Taurus would be back to cash and the necessity of cash, because Taurus is what you can touch, right, the five senses, what you can hold. What is real versus what is on a screen. So this back to basics is looking at the resources that we need, the physical resources that we need to live a good life, and that brings in agriculture and farming and how we feed ourselves, you know, the actual food, where food comes from, the return to local environments, local communities for resources. So there's some big shifts here over the next 7 years. New value systems is essentially what's coming into play. And you might be feeling that in yourself, and you might feel it coming up to your own consciousness around, what am I putting my energy towards that means something to me? So I will talk about this more on next Monday's show. And specifically, I'll go into how we are healing into wholeness, into a new sense of wholeness with Uranus entering Taurus. So, my friends, I'm going to see here if there's anything else I want to add before we end today's show. Only to take care of yourself, to find that silence or that solitude, to find that quiet within, and really focus on your sixth sense, your ability to listen to your intuition, to listen to your feelings and what's coming up, and to trust it, to really trust those messages even more. So there's a strengthening of our intuition and a strengthening of our spiritual gifts during this time in March. The sun will make a supportive sextile to Saturn at 18 degrees, and that will happen on Saturday. That's Saturday, March 9th. So that brings in something stable, clear, clarity, a sense of priority and strength around what matters right now and what's needed. Well, I somehow was able to talk for 45 minutes, even though I felt like I was without words at times. So thank you for listening. I so appreciate your connection and all of you who listen to this podcast all around the world. It's wonderful to meet you and to know you through astrology and through this show. And thank you for your patience as I go through my own Mercury retrograde experiences. Who knows what March will bring, but we'll just flow with it. And one mantra that I want to leave you with, that I've been hearing and a reminder to myself, is that going back to that infinity sign, as the energy moves between your human self and your spiritual self, you could feel like you're in between choices, that you have things coming up right now, and a part of you really wants something to play out a certain way, or you feel like your ego or your mind is locked into something. Maybe you're relying on something. You're thinking, oh, this has to come through because of this, this, and this, or I really need this to line up because of this, this, and this. Well, the universe and spirit is infinitely more creative than we are, and it has so much ability to support us that a mantra I've been hearing that to share with you as I sign off here is, either way, it will be all right. Either way, it will be all right. Plan A or plan B, option one, option two, either way, it will be all right. And that alone might calm your mind, calm your energy, calm anything that feels inflamed or overactive, because it's true. Either way, however it plays out, whatever unfolds, whatever happens, it will be all right. In fact, it will probably be better than all right. So thank you for joining me. I'll see you back here on Monday or on Wednesday. We'll see how things go. And in the meantime, I wish you a beautiful week ahead, friends. Thanks again, and take good care. Bye-bye.